are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletta.
What up, what up?
What's up, man? Good to be here.
Yeah.
Here to record another lovely episode. And as is becoming the normal, we have a guest. It's not really rare these days because Mike has a new baby and, you know, Grandpa's here all the time. So, Mike Sr., how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me once again.
Good, good. It's good to have you here.
It's always good to be here.
Yeah, somebody's got to keep Mike in check. So it's good to have you here to kind of help me smack him down when he gets out of line.
I will definitely do that.
And before we get into today's show, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike _ Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our YouTube page.
You're getting good at that.
Yeah, and I believe we're in the process of starting to get on Spotify.
Is that the thing now? I keep trying to, yeah, that's my bad.
But hopefully by the time this show goes live, we'll be on Spotify, or at least in the application process, so that next week's show can be on Spotify. Yeah. So
I'm forgetful. These things happen.
Yeah, and apparently Spotify is much better at showing you the numbers, too.
Really?
I know Apple's pretty secretive about it, but I hear Spotify is super transparent when it comes to downloads and listens and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, Apple's statistics are very finicky, for
right.
sure.
It's definitely something that we're working on. We have Mike working on it behind the scenes when he remembers.
Which is a rare occurrence.
Right. So let's get into today's show. We do have two Eagles games to talk about.
Yep.
We have a loss from last Sunday, which honestly at this point people have kind of glossed over because according to the city, the Eagles are back.
The Eagles are back.
Thursday night, the Eagles stomped the Giants.
Yeah.
And apparently Carson Wentz is God again, and we're getting ready for another parade.
Repeat, huh?
Yeah, after the team has started 2-3 with bad losses to Tennessee and Tampa Bay. But we're back. It's okay. Don't worry, guys. We beat the high school level Giants.
Yeah,
so, no, rhetoric is a little much for me.
I get that, but I think it's a good thing that they beat up on a smaller opponent. Like, if they just won by 3 or 7, like, fine.
Sure, but
they don't beat up on a smaller opponent, which is what good teams do.
But you don't play teams like the Giants in the playoffs.
Absolutely not.
You play teams that are closer to Tampa Bay and Tennessee.
But you got to beat teams up like the Giants to get to the playoffs.
Also, Tennessee, I don't even say they're a playoff team because I don't think they are. They just scored 12 points against the damn, against who they play.
How many did they score
Buffalo?
Against the Eagles?
They played Buffalo, 12 points.
How many did they score against the Eagles?
Yeah, that was a joke.
More than the Eagles did.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. 26
and the fact
points.
That the Eagles can't beat that team is a problem.
It is a problem.
Okay.
It is a problem. The defense is still a problem.
One
they
win,
play very good in the Giants game.
One win against the Giants does not solve all the flaws
of
this
team. No, it doesn't.
And
absolutely
and
not.
The other wins this season have not been comfortable wins. You haven't won games by 3 touchdowns like we expected this team to do. Now, maybe it took you 5 weeks to shake off the hangover. Maybe it took Carson Wentz 3 weeks to get rolling. Maybe he's good to go. Maybe he's an MVP candidate again. And I hope he is. You know I'm an Eagles fan. I'm sitting here wearing an Eagles hoodie right now. I hope he's back to MVP candidate Carson Wentz like we had before week 14 of last year.
Right.
Let me give you half glass half empty pessimist feel. The three wins all come against teams with one win.
Yep.
The glass is half full argument.
Yep.
All of the things that they were doing wrong to put themselves in the 2-3 position, they did right against the Giants. They corrected them.
Sure.
So that's the glass half full going forward.
Now show me
we'll
you can
see
do
what
it
happens.
Again. Right. You have to show me you can do it again.
Correct.
So the Eagles don't play today on day of recording, Sunday, because they played on Thursday. Is next week London or is it
the
week after?
The week after. Next week they are at home against the Panthers.
So you get another home game next week.
Yeah. Their schedule is tough, really, from this point on. I mean, they have the Panthers next week at home. Then after that, then they go to London to play the Jaguars and that filthy defense.
Right. And then they have the bye week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they play the Cowboys at home. Then they have the Saints, then the Giants, Redskins, Eagles, Cowboys. Then they play the Rams. So, like, you have the Rams, the Saints, the Jaguars. Like, you got good teams coming up.
And the fact that you stumbled through the easy portion of your schedule is cause for concern.
100%.
Now, you do still have multiple division games left. Is it 5 more?
Five more.
The Giants game was the first division game.
Correct. Five.
So you have five more relatively easy games, right? Because nobody in the division's good.
Yeah. Two against the Giants, two against the Cowboys, one against the Redskins.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I'm sorry.
No, one against the Giants.
One against the Giants, two against the Redskins.
Yeah, that's how it works, Mike. Yeah, every year. Yeah.
There you go.
So the fact that you have five relatively easy games left is encouraging. But you're probably going to lose one just on a bad bounce or a fumble or an injury at an unfortunate time, or you run into a hot team.
You rarely go 6-0 in your division.
Exactly. So let's say the Eagles get four wins out of that. That means they're at 7 on the season.
Correct.
You got to win probably three of your other games.
To win the division.
Well, you probably only have to win two to win the division.
Honestly, 7-9 might win this division.
Right. But that's not really what you're chasing at this point. No, it's almost a foregone conclusion you're going
to
win the division.
At this point, if you don't make it back at least to the NFC Championship game, you've probably failed to meet expectations.
Correct. Which to get where you want to get, where you're really angling is to catching the Saints. You want that second seed. At least
you want
that
home field.
Look, if you can catch the Rams, great. You're probably not catching the Rams.
No.
Well, I'm talking at least one home game.
You want that bye, and then that first home game.
Yeah.
You win that first home game, then you're in the NFC Championship game.
Right.
And if
the Saints lose, then if the Rams lose, then all of a sudden you're the home team.
Which they did last year at home.
Right. Anything can happen in the playoffs, but you want to get into the playoffs. You want to have home field for at least a game.
Well, even if you win a division, you get home field for a game.
Right.
You want that bye.
You want the bye. The bye is huge. And honestly, I don't think this Eagles team really has what it takes. I'll be honest. They might be the best of the non-bye teams. They might finish third in the NFC. I don't think they catch the Saints.
They may not.
No.
Just given what I've seen.
They're either the Saints or the Rams.
The Rams are really good.
Yeah.
I think you could potentially win out and not catch the Rams. That's a possibility.
Yeah. They're a really good team.
They're the 5-0.
Yeah.
They're not as good as they look. Like the Chiefs weren't as good as they looked last year.
But they're
very good. They could win 13 games
with no problem.
Easy.
I mean, they just put up 30-plus points on a weekly basis at ease. Like, it's unreal, that offense.
And given the struggles that the Eagles' defense has had this year, do you want to face the Rams?
No.
Ever?
Like, these are the games that the Rams have played, right? 33 points they put up the first game.
Against who?
Against the Raiders.
Okay.
Then they won 34-0 against the Cardinals.
Okay.
35-23 against the Chargers.
You haven't really mentioned a good team yet.
38-31 against the Vikings.
There's a good team.
33-31 against. So the least they put up was 33 points.
Who was the last one against?
Points.
Was Seattle, right?
Was Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't played a good team.
They really haven't.
The
but
Vikings aren't bad.
They're okay.
They still have put up at least 33 points in each of their five games.
They're giving up big numbers, too. They're supposed to have a great defense.
Yeah, that is true. They've given up 13-0, 23, 31, 31.
But if you ask me who right now is the best team in football, I'd say the Rams.
Yeah,
at least the NFC
through the first 5 weeks.
I'd give you that in the NFC. I don't know about the whole NFL, but the NFC.
I mean, who else is there?
I mean, the 5-0, but I can't say they're better than the Rams.
That's fine.
So, Mahomes is Tom Brady at this point. Listen, put him in the Hall of Fame.
As long
they still have Andy Reid.
As long as Tom Brady's in the league, you got to put the Patriots in that conversation.
Doesn't mean they're the best team in the league.
You have to put him in that.
The best player and not be on the best team.
I understand that, but at the same time, he just leads that team to victories, period.
And twice this year or three times this year.
Okay.
Not five.
Okay. How many Eagles, victories do the Eagles have?
Three.
Okay.
Yeah, they have the same amount of victories.
I understand that, but listen, you can't count Tom Brady out.
I'm not counting him out. I'm saying they're not the best team right now. Through the first 6 weeks of the season, they're not the best team in football.
The best team is more than just the teams that are 5-0, in my opinion.
No,
just because they've had the best results doesn't mean they're the best team
through the first five games.
I agree.
Six games.
And right now it's been the Rams and the Chiefs.
Right, it's definitely not the Patriots.
No, right. And maybe the Saints.
It's also not the Eagles.
No. Right. So the Saints have won four straight.
Yeah. So the Eagles put us in a little bit of a weird spot by playing two games this week. We don't have a game to preview, even though our previews come out after the games anyway. So it's a little strange. But we don't have a game to preview. Let's talk a little bit about next week's game, because we can actually preview that and get it out before the game.
Yeah, we got the Panthers.
Panthers aren't a bad team.
No.
Not great, but they're not bad. It depends on what Cam Newton shows up.
They're along the line with many teams in the NFC right now where they haven't completely identified themselves as to who they are and who they're going to be after 10, 12 games. They're still finding their way, but they're a decent football team.
Yeah,
I think this is the biggest game on the Eagles' schedule so far.
So far, I don't
because,
know about that.
Because you're rolling off the big Giants win, you have 10 days to prepare. You want to put up a good showing because you're getting on a plane and flying to England. So you want to go out on a strong note before you head across the pond.
Also, these England games are dumb.
I like them. Stupid. I like them, but we'll get into that in a minute when I finish my point here.
Okay, go for it.
You want to come out strong because you want to go to London on a high note. You don't want to get beat at home by a mediocre Carolina team.
Nobody wants to get beat ever in any week.
But it's a little easier to swallow when you're
I disagree with that premise.
Home
no
in the media.
Defeat's ever easy to swallow.
Okay. That's fine.
The whole reason you play the game, you play to win the game. Every team is trying to win every game. Every play, the players that are playing that play are playing to win that play.
Unless you're Hugh Jackson, then you're just comfortable with losing.
Well, then every week is the biggest game of the season then.
Every play is the biggest play of the game. Yep. Every week is the biggest week of the season. That's absolutely true.
But to me, the Eagles need to prove to me that they're the team they were on Thursday night against the Giants.
I'll put it this way.
And they're not the team they were against Tennessee
or against Tampa Bay. Point, but I would put it this way.
Okay.
If the Eagles are going to end up this year where they planned on ending up, they will have to win this game.
Exactly.
That's the other way of saying the same exact thing you're saying.
Exactly.
Which makes it a huge game.
I was trying to get across,
Correct.
You have to prove to your fan base that the Giants game was not a fluke, that the Tennessee game was a fluke, that the Tampa Bay game was a fluke.
Correct.
And that this is the team that's going to roll into the playoffs and hope to win a game, hope to win two games, hope to make it back to the Super Bowl.
Correct. If you lose this game, the season sets up for a division win, a first-round playoff game at home, a win, and probably a loss in round two, end of season.
Yep.
That's what losing this game probably means.
2002 Andy Reid.
Correct.
Yep. I agree.
So in that sense, yes, it's a... As many games coming up will be, this is a huge game.
Yeah.
They're all. I mean, in a 16-game season, every game's big.
I agree. Like,
they just are. Every game.
But because you've lost the games you've lost, it makes the games you're playing now even more critical.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said, 7-9 might be enough to win this division.
It could, very much
but
so.
But fans in the city expect more than that.
Sure.
After last season.
And the players should expect more than that.
Right. After last season, you expect excellence.
Yeah.
And we have not seen excellence.
We've seen it once.
Right. And I refuse to call the Giants game excellence because it was against the Giants.
They played very well.
You can only play who you play on the field.
I understand.
There, and they played well.
The execution was there.
They played teams very similar to Giants talent and not played well.
Right.
No.
So it's good that they played well.
I agree. And we'll see where we go moving forward. Jacksonville is, you know, an interesting team, and we'll see them in London.
They're
we'll
one of the best defenses
later.
In the league.
If the Eagles defense doesn't win that game, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because they just can't score. Jacksonville just can't score.
But their defense is great.
They're terrific. But our offense is a lot closer to their defense than their offense is to our defense.
I'm also a little bit worried about the Eagles overlooking Carolina.
There's no way they're going to overlook anybody.
Because the momentum starts to roll up to go to England, they're probably leaving Sunday night or Monday.
If it happens, they're not the team we think they are.
They are who we thought they were.
You're also forgetting the Jaguars.
They let them off the hook.
The Jaguars beat the Patriots earlier in the year, 31-20.
Yeah.
So
they're a good football team.
Yeah.
So what do you hate about the London games, Mike?
I just doesn't make sense travel wise. Like, what's the purpose of going? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It's about a 6-hour flight. Okay.
Sure.
It's a 3-hour
flight.
Like
four time zones.
It's a 3-hour flight to the West Coast.
Okay.
Which is also 3 time zones.
Sure.
What's the difference?
It's also difference when the game that's going on today in London is the Oakland Raiders and the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, that's dumb because they have to fly
that
halfway
is
across
absurd.
The world.
Yeah.
But Philadelphia and Jacksonville, Florida, both in the Eastern time zone, it's almost the same as flying to the West Coast.
Sure.
It's a little more because it's 6 hours and 5 time zones as opposed to 5 hours and 3 time zones going to the West Coast.
But for fairness' sake, you cannot make only the East Coast teams go there.
I agree.
You can't do that.
No, I agree.
Now, I agree with Mike. I think it's total stupidity because when I'll ask a question. Why are they going to London?
They're trying to
grow
the
game.
Money. Yeah.
The answer is money.
That's
of course.
The
well,
so,
yeah.
Which makes it stupid.
Well, why did they do anything? Why do they televise the games?
It's all about money.
Within reason. Of course, it's the entertainment business.
Why do they take 75 TV timeouts per quarter?
But when you hurt the... And that's a problem, too. When you hurt the product because of the money chase... That's when I think
is the product worse if it's in London?
Yes. Why? Definitely.
And
it hurts the week before. It hurts the week after.
Less prep time.
Is the product worse with Thursday night games?
It doesn't hurt the week after now because the Eagles have the bye, and I assume Jacksonville probably does too.
Thursday night games hurt the product as well. You have to prepare 100%. In 3 days. It hurts you going forward. It creates injuries.
Yep.
They don't care. Money, and that's the problem. No problem with the NFL making money. That's what you're there for. Right. But you don't have to make every single solitary penny there is to the detriment of the game, which in the long run is going to hurt their money and their bottom line. But they're too pigheaded to realize that.
I think the day will come when travel gets a little more efficient. I think the day will come when there's an NFL team in Europe.
There shouldn't be.
Maybe England.
No.
Well, if you put a division out there, if you put four teams out there, it probably works. Because when you go play that division, you just stay out there for a month, basically. Play all four teams. You play the London team. You play the Berlin team. You play the Paris team. You play the Madrid team. And then you come back.
I don't see it happening in my lifetime.
But I'm saying I think that's what the goal of this
is. That's what
they
want.
Right. It's the same reason the NHL played some preseason games in China.
Yeah, that's stupid,
And too. They played some regular season games in Gothenburg, Sweden.
It's dumb.
It's about expanding the game. It's about getting international people to pay attention to the NFL. Because the NFL is very American-centric.
Absolutely. There's only 330 million people in this country.
Right.
There's 7 billion people in the world. Right.
They pay a little bit of attention to it in Canada. Probably a little bit in Mexico.
That's where your next team's going to be if it's outside the country, is in Mexico.
I agree. I think there are security concerns in Mexico, but if they do it right, they can do it. I'm stunned Canada doesn't have a team yet.
True. Especially Toronto.
I think that's because the CFL is fairly popular, and you don't want to split the audience.
There could be an agreement between the leagues not to do it.
Especially because the CFL is... It's football... But it's different. It's like 110 yards and points are different and X, Y, and Z are different. They're different games. It's almost like arena football.
Right.
So maybe they kind of have an agreement not to split the audience.
They very well may.
Right. And if you look at the Arena Football League schedule, they play over the summer. They don't compete with the NFL for TV time. And they know they can't. I don't know the CFL schedule. If it runs over the summer, then there's no reason there can't be an NFL team there.
The NFL gets on my nerves. I can't wait till the XFL. Just come on. Let's get it rolling.
Because it worked
here.
So well the first time.
Let's get it rolling and we'll be good.
It worked so well the first time.
Second time's a charm.
Yeah, but I think it's only a matter of time before there is an international team, whether it's Canada or Mexico or London or.
I'd be fine with Canada or Mexico, but.
I think it'll be Mexico first.
I think it'll be Mexico first. I agree. Just for weather more than anything. That being said, I like the idea of the London game because it's an event. It's cool.
Is it any more though?
Yeah.
Like it's almost like the whole stadium series in hockey. Like you have 8 of them every year. So it's nothing new anymore. But
how psyched are you for Philly, Pittsburgh, and Lincoln Financial Field?
It's going to be fine, but locally it's a little different.
Okay.
But nationally, nobody gives a shit that the game's in London or that the game's outside of Lincoln Financial Field. Nobody cares.
Do you know how many people I've seen that are excited? I can't wait to wake up at 8 a.m. and start drinking. There's an Eagles game at 9:30. There's a ton of people
awful.
Who are excited for
that sounds
for
terrible.
It. But for people who... Yeah, that's because you're old and a father now and you don't sleep anymore. You don't want to wake up at 7 a.m. and start drinking.
Right. I'm surprised,
but
I'm surprised
a generation
they didn't make
of
that game.
That do.
I'm surprised they didn't make that game in primetime like they're doing for the game today.
Which makes a lot more sense.
It
play
does.
The game in primetime out there.
And it's
so
1 o'clock here.
You don't have to watch it at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I agree, but at the same time, think about the market. The Eagles... Well... And also, they're two West Coast teams. So if
that's
prime time
why
here,
doing it.
It's here at 1:30.
Right, it's still 9 o'clock.
It's still 10:30 a.m. on the West Coast. So it's still the morning.
Yeah, no, it's the only reason they did it is because it was two West Coast teams.
Right.
They should do it all the time.
But every single one should be. Actually, there should be none.
Well, no.
But if you're going to do it, it should be 1 o'clock.
Right. But if you think about it, the Eagles fan that watches the Eagles game at 9:30, that'll wrap up just in time for the 1 o'clock games. That's why they're doing it. That's where the schedule's at. If the Eagles game starts at 9:30 a.m., that'll wrap up about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Why not play every Eagle game at 9:30 so we can watch the 1 o'clock game?
Listen, I'm all for it. It's not going to happen because they're not going to start Eagles games at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I don't need football at 9:30 in the morning.
It's too early.
I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be an adventure. Oh, I think it'll be exciting. Different.
It's going to be unique, so it'll be
we still have to figure out.
I don't know. I'm going to be like sleeping, but I'm going to forget that there's a game. I'm going to wake up at like 10:30 and be like, oh my God, it's halftime.
Well, no, you're going to wake up at 9:30 because I'm going to be here to record during kickoff.
Yeah,
probably gonna have the game on the TV down here while we're recording.
Yeah, you're recording at 7:30.
No way in hell that's happening.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah, I'll wake up at 5:30 and get down here.
I will not be here next week.
Well, neither will I.
That game's in 2 weeks, so you got time.
Sorry, okay.
Anyway, I think we've just about exhausted the Eagles. You know, you lost on Sunday, you won on Thursday. You got a Carolina game next week, which is huge.
Yeah, they're banged up right now. The Eagles, obviously.
They get help? Not to continue this Eagles.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Do they get help? Should they get help?
You're talking about
running back,
wide receiver,
The two big names out there are Shady McCoy and Le'Veon Bell.
There's just a report that
I honestly would prefer losing every game the rest of the season than getting Shady McCoy.
There are reports that the Bills are not going to trade him to the Eagles.
Well,
that just came out today.
There's also a report that the Steelers still haven't heard anything from Le'Veon Bell, and he's supposed to report this week.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to report next week, I think.
He's got to be in by week 10. He said he was going to show up at 7, but he definitely will report by week 10.
Will he?
He has to.
He has to.
For what he's trying to accomplish,
like, you're probably right, but
to get the year of service, he has to be in by week 10.
Or else you're in the same boat next year.
Exactly.
Like, yep.
So, I don't know if they're going to. Like, what do they want? What do the Steelers want for Le'Veon Bell? A second-round pick?
The price can't be supremely high.
No.
The guy has an attitude problem, right? Like, at this point, and whether you want to call a holdout a, quote, attitude problem or not, I personally don't. But from a team perspective, this guy is, quote, a problem.
Right. And they replaced him. I mean, Connor still is putting up numbers doing what Le'Veon would have done there. So,
and that's the only reason he's still holding out. Because if they didn't have a running back, they would have buckled.
Yeah, probably.
And they would have gone to him and said, here's the 6 years you want. They would have had to.
The Steelers' history says they wouldn't have. They just don't buckle. They don't pay their players. They let them walk.
And nobody wants to pay a running back that much or that long.
It's the term.
It's not the per year, right? They'll pay him per year forever.
Right, they'll pay him $20 million a year.
They franchise them. They'll pay him the top five salary. That's not their issue.
Right.
They're not going to give him $70 million for 5 years. Yeah. And so that
nobody's going to do that for running backs.
He's worthless.
Nobody's going to do that for running backs. They break down way too quick.
Yeah,
I agree. The average career of an NFL running back is like 2.5 years. You know, I mentioned on last week's show, Sean Alexander, one good year, got paid, never really did the same. Peyton Hillis, one great year, made the Madden cover.
He never had a great year.
He had a good year. He was an MVP candidate that year, wasn't he?
No. Stop it. He was a new white running back, so people got all happy and excited about it.
He did good enough to make the Madden cover.
Because it was great marketing. He was just a young white running back that people just fell in love with.
Sure. Regardless, even if Le'Veon Bell does come back, how much longer does he have at the top? 2 years?
He's only 24 years old.
Not 5 or 6.
He's only 20.
Which is why he doesn't get the long-term deal.
And nobody will give it to him.
Right. Nobody.
No. I agree. I think his problem is he doesn't have the chance to go test the free agent market. Because a bad team will throw a 5-year contract at him because they just don't have any reason not to.
It's part marketing at that point.
Right. Exactly. It's like when John Tavares hit the NHL free agency market over the summer, he ended up going to Toronto for $11 million. I'm sure Arizona or some of these bad teams, Buffalo, probably would have offered him 14 or 15.
Well, didn't San Jose offer him 13?
Oh, San Jose offered him 13. He didn't take it.
When you're making that much, though, what's $2 million? It's literally chump change.
Why
to
does
them.
Le'Veon carry franchised for 14? Why does he need long-term?
That's a great question.
Exactly.
I don't know.
He's losing $850,000 a game.
Yeah, that's nothing. But that's also nothing.
I mean, it's not nothing.
Over 6 games, it's not $5 million.
When you're making 20-some mil, that's really not much.
Nothing.
It's not much.
Mike, I don't care how much money he has. $850,000 per game means something to him.
If you think about agent fees and taxes, now it's $9 million.
Okay.
Instead of 15 or whatever.
You can't say it's nothing to Le'Veon. It's a lot of money. That's why you got to give him credit that he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Right.
He's putting it on the line.
Right. bringing it back to hockey, I know William Nylander is losing $30,000 a day.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
Listen,
I don't care how much you're making. That's a lot of money.
But it's not $850,000
a
week.
And if you times it by 10 for Le'Veon Bell, even if he's losing $500,000 a day, even if it's not actually $850,000, if it's closer to
You're making $20 million a year, that's nothing.
He's not making $20 million a year.
The 14 you said?
That's not 20. It was franchised at 14 last year.
Okay, when did they get that much? That's pennies.
Well, do the prorate.
It's not nothing,
it's,
Mike.
It's 1/14 of his salary.
Yeah.
So if you make $100,000 a year, that's $14,000. You're saying somebody who makes $100,000 a year, $14,000 means nothing?
Nope.
If you make
$1,000 a week, all right, I'm gonna chop $250 off it a week.
Okay.
It's nothing. Because it's only 25% of your salary.
Get back to my foot. I hope he tears his Achilles.
Oh, so do I.
He's probably on the other side of this. And he's such a douche that it wouldn't surprise me if he goes back and fakes an injury so he doesn't have to play for them.
I'm on the other side of this.
He's a douche.
I believe that professional athletes have a very small window to get paid. I'm okay with him sticking out for his money. He wants security. He wants
$1 million to run a football.
He doesn't want $14 million a year for 6 years. He just wants 6 years. I don't know how much he'll take. He might take 8, 10. You know, he's not. I don't think he's being outrageously, exceptionally greedy. All he wants is a little security. He only has a limited window. We just talked about that 2.5 years. He has a limited window to make his money to set his family up for the rest of his life. I'm okay with him waiting for the security that he wants.
I hope he tears his Achilles. Career ending. See you later.
If it's after he signs a 6-year deal, I'm sure he's fine with
it. Nope, right before that. Right before it.
Well, he's not going to play until he gets the deal, so it's not going to happen.
He has to play.
Because they're not giving it to him.
Again, at week 10, he has to play.
I think he'll sit. I think he'll take the year.
He's right back here next year.
That's fine.
The Steelers would love for him to sit the whole year.
Yeah. That's fine. I think he's going to do it. I think he's dug in. I think there's a chance that the Maple Leafs don't sign William Nylander.
That's a different situation.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
He's restricted, right?
Yeah. He's a restricted free agent.
It's a very different situation.
It's a different situation.
Bell would be putting himself back into a restricted situation by holding out for the whole year.
If he holds out for the whole year, they're back in square one.
If he plays weeks 10 through 16, he's unrestricted.
But then they can just franchise tag him again, right?
The Steelers aren't going to put themselves through this again.
But they can. They have that option.
I don't know how many years there's a limit on how many times you can franchise.
They've already done it two or three times.
Right.
Okay.
Which is what his beef is.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm okay with him.
So am I. I have no problem with the player trying to do what he's trying to do. I have no problem with it.
Yep. Planting his feet in the ground and saying, I want my years.
I hope the Steelers call him and say, all right, we'll do it. And as he's walking to go sign the contract, he tears his Achilles about to go sign it.
It's messed up, Mike.
You're done. It's whatever. Don't be a douche. Go play with your team. Go play with your team.
You and I look at things differently. We both know that.
Your line is really a big part of why you're there, and you're just throwing them under the bus essentially. And
I don't think he's throwing them under the bus at all.
Not necessarily throwing them under the bus.
His issue has nothing to do with the on-field product. His issue is solely with management.
And listen, I would want him here. He's a great running back, but just whatever.
I'm actually on the other side of that of his linemen. I think his linemen were 100% wrong to call him out.
Why?
Because here's a guy who's trying to do something for the betterment of the players.
Yeah.
Any one of those players could be in the same situation.
Yeah, what if he makes seven times what the line makes.
That's not his fault. The game dictates that cornerbacks get paid a lot of money, that quarterbacks get paid a lot of money, that left tackles get paid a lot of money.
The wide receivers get paid a lot of money.
That's what the game dictates.
And the lineman was saying, hey, go get your money, you hold out in training camp, whatever, but week one, we got a game to play. Let's go. Buckle down and show up.
And if they had the opportunity to make more money doing something different than what Bell wanted, I don't think Bell would call his lineman out and say, hey, you should be here blocking for me.
They're getting paid the same whether he was there week one or whether he holds out all season.
Right, whether they're blocking for Bell or Connor, they're getting paid to block. They agreed to the salary that they're... He never agreed to be the franchise tag. He never agreed to
the
salary.
Yeah, you don't have an option to get franchise tag.
He agreed to play for the salary that they're playing for to block for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not to block for Le'Veon Bell. So block for the Steelers and shut.
You block for Ben Roethlisberger. You block for whoever he hands the ball off to. You block for the organization. You don't block for Le'Veon Bell.
I thought it was bad players calling out another player and saying, "Get in here! You're letting us down."
And
he's trying to do what's best for him, especially other players,
especially when he didn't have a choice. right? When Odell Beckham held out because he wanted an extension, it's a little bit different because he has the choice, right?
And he was under contract.
Right. He had another season left. He chose to hold out to try to get his long-term extension. I would understand the team being a little upset with him at that point. Le'Veon Bell didn't ask to be franchise tagged. He asked for the exact opposite. He either wanted a long-term extension or to go test the market, and they just won't let him. That's not on Bell.
The rules allow Bell to do what he's doing, so I don't see how other players can hold it against him.
I agree.
Show up. I hope he tears his Achilles. That's all I have to say about it.
Let's get away from this. We're not an NFL-centric podcast. let's get into the Flyers.
Okay.
The Flyers played three games this week, two of which were at home. Both of those were losses.
Yeah.
Started on Tuesday with a pretty bad game.
Chances are they are who we thought they were.
Now, see, I disagree. We'll get into that.
Sometimes things just snowball out of control.
Right. I was at that game. The team looked sloppy.
You think?
Right. San Jose scored twice in 12 seconds or whatever it was, and the wheels fell off.
For everybody.
Right. The whole entire team imploded.
Elliott included.
Now, I think he was the best Flyer in the first period. He let up two or three goals.
He let up four.
Right.
And the first one right through the five hole.
Yeah.
Just close your legs.
Yeah.
He was slow. Some pucks hit him and he made some saves. He was bad.
Listen, I didn't say he was good.
He wasn't the worst Flyer.
I didn't say he was good. I just said he was the best Flyer. They were all bad. Let's make that clear. They were all bad. I think he was just the least bad of all of them.
They were awful.
I just think he was the least bad of all of them.
That could be. That could be.
He was the best Flyer by default.
But
his defense also didn't do him any favors.
Well, that's what this defense is. His defense isn't good.
See, we're going to get into that because we're going to talk about Saturday's game against Vegas, where I think the defense played an excellent game. But we'll get into that. Tuesday night, the defense absolutely hung Brian Elliott out to dry. I think Calvin Pickard should have started the second period.
I agree.
I was going to ask that question.
I think Calvin Pickard should have started the third period. Calvin Pickard sat on the bench the whole game.
How do you let a goalie struggling like that give up eight goals?
But the thing is,
without ever making a move, I don't get it.
He wasn't struggling. The team struggled in front of him.
He was so slow. I'm not saying the team didn't struggle.
I disagree.
In front of him.
He made some excellent saves in that period.
Oh, so instead of 8-2, it could have been 13-2. Basically, what you're saying,
yes.
it's still
given
goals.
How the defense played, it should have been 13-2.
You can make some great saves. If you're giving up soft goals, it's a problem.
Okay.
He gave three of the first four goals were soft.
And he's not an elite goalie. Like, he's never been that. He never be that.
No one's saying he is.
No.
Myself included. I'm trying to get behind Brian Elliott because at this point, he's what we have.
No, this is the reason I think they should have put Pickard in at the end of the first, is because you had a back-to-back. Right, you had a game the next night, and I know they don't like to start goalies on back-to-back nights. If you pull him after the first, the game's 4-0. Game's pretty much done at that point. Maybe you have a spark, maybe you don't.
Well,
whatever.
See, my thing is, and you pull him at 4-0 because at that point you still have a chance to come back.
You have zero chance, not this Flyers team. They don't.
Listen, you have two full periods. Changing the goalie can change the momentum. You score one quick one, you're right back in the game. You got two full periods left. San Jose wasn't outplaying you that bad.
They were outplaying you.
Plus, if you sit him for those two periods, you can come back with Elliott in the next game.
That was my point. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was my point, is you could start him the next game. So it did make sense that he let him in there just goal after goal after goal.
I agree with that.
My point is Hextall's still not a good coach.
No, he's not.
Sure.
If my point was missed.
Well, we disagree on this matter, but that's, you know, that's a battle I've learned that I'm losing in the court of public opinion. Anyway,
well, you got to have results in order to back up that opinion. So,
playoffs in two out of the last 3 years.
First round, never made it past the first round. Like,
not
just
made it past, got annihilated both series.
Right, exactly.
Annihilated.
Whatever. Won two games out of, or three games out of the two series.
6-0, 7-2. I mean,
just getting destroyed.
The thing that I don't think people realize when they're criticizing the coach, not you guys specifically, just in general. When people are criticizing this coach, I don't think they realize that the team has essentially been rebuilding for the last 3 or 4 years since Hextall took over.
Okay.
If you think about the moves they've made, do you remember this team? The team that played Washington in the first round a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. That team had Pierre-Edouard Belmar, Chris Vandevelde. The team had some bad players. I think that team still had Luke Shen. this team was bad. If you look up that 15-16 roster, that team was not good. They made the playoffs. Okay?
I don't think they were as bad as you're letting on, but they were not a good team. They were seriously outclassed by Washington, right. And I had no problem with them getting their first
scored
off.
Who scored on that round. Team? Claude scored. Jake scored. I'll wait.
I'm not going to pretend to remember that right. team the way I remember
Travis
this
Konechny
team.
Was a rookie. We didn't have Nolan Patrick. We didn't have Oscar Lindblom. We didn't have any of the young guys up front. If you think about your forward core now, Travis Konechny, Nolan Patrick, Oscar Lindblom, Mikhail Vorobyev, who I like, by the way, he's playing very well. Those four guys, a full third of your forward core, wasn't here 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
That. But of the guys who were there then and who are here now, especially the right. young guys.
Okay? And then on the defensive side, your two best defensemen weren't here 3 years ago. Provorov and Ghost. Maybe it was Ghost's rookie season. I don't exactly remember.
Ghost, it was definitely his rookie year.
Yeah, because okay. without Ghost, they don't even make the playoffs. Right. They don't even sniff the playoffs.
If somebody right. doesn't, there was a defenseman who got hurt. It's the only reason they brought
yeah,
him
it was
up.
Straight.
Right. It was the only reason they brought him up.
Think about the other defensemen on that team.
It was a huge spark. Huge.
Right. Andrew McDonald was playing top 2 minutes on that team.
Yeah, maybe, that's the coach. Maybe, that goes down to the coach.
He doesn't have the assets.
Name me one.
You can't here's make my, bad players biggest, good.
I think there's line combination issues. I think there's in-game adjustment issues. Okay. There's style of play issues that I have with this coach. But take that all aside. The reason he was brought in is he was supposed to make the young players better. Yeah. That was the huge asset to this guy.
And in my eyes, he has.
Name one.
Travis Konechny.
Provorov is Konechny's the same player he was two
he
years
is,
ago.
He is the exact same
he's
player.
He's the same exact player.
He's just using him a little differently. But he's the same exact player.
Last year, Travis Konechny had 4 goals in 40 games in the bottom 6.
Again, he's using them differently.
When he put him on the first line with Couturier and Giroux, he had 24 goals in 40 games.
You missed what I literally just said. He's
using
him
better.
Differently.
Better.
Sure, better.
Is he playing better?
He's playing the exact
he's playing
same.
Exact
he's just
same
play,
game.
He's playing with Claude Giroux.
Right, he's going to score
Turns
more.
Out when you play
with Claude Giroux, yeah.
When you play first-line minutes and you play with first-line talent, of course you're going to score more. What I'm saying is the game that he plays is exactly the same as the game he played 3 years ago.
Okay.
Provorov, who I love, his game is 10% better than it was when he first got
I don't
here.
Even know, but he looked like a train wreck over the last couple of games.
He looked bad against Vegas.
He looked terrible.
He looked real, and I think part of that was the ice, but that's not an excuse.
That's
he should
no
have played
excuse.
Better. I don't know what exactly what role the coach has in making this player better and how much of it is just natural player development growth.
Then that guy should not be a coach if he's not playing a role.
I'm saying any coach. I'm saying any coach. I don't know what a coach can do to turn Oscar Lindblom from a good AHL player to a second-line NHL player. It's happened. I don't know how much of that was Oscar Lindblom just naturally getting a little older, getting a little more mature, getting better at the game.
You can't even say it happened. Lindblom's
where was Oscar Lindblom this time last year?
He was in the AHL.
Okay, and where is he this year?
Okay, no.
Well, right now he's in concussion protocol. We'll talk about that.
He's not the poster boy for what
right.
I'm saying,
you can't say he's a second line player just because they have had him on the second line. That doesn't mean he's his
playing on the second line makes you a second line player.
Not talent wise, no.
Has Voracek, who's not a young player, has Voracek in the 3 years he's been or 4 years he's been with Hextall, has he gotten any better?
No, he's gotten worse.
No, I'll say he's the same. I want to say he's regressed. He's the same.
Okay.
Look at Austin Matthews his rookie year. Look at Austin Matthews
when he had
now.
40 goals.
Look at Austin. It's not all about the numbers. I'm talking about the way he plays the game.
Okay.
Okay. Look at him 3 years ago and look at him now.
Yeah.
You don't think their coach has anything to do with that?
Well, and you like.
Well, they have one of the best coaches of all time.
But that's what one of the biggest. Matters. We have one of the worst.
You know, there was a huge controversy in Toronto over last year because they felt like Babcock was throwing Matthews to the wolves and he was getting like 14 minutes a game and he was playing penalty kill time.
He's making him earn his ice time.
Right.
Gee, what? Dude, that's awful coaching.
What? Okay. Flashback to 2 years ago. Dave Hextall scratches Ghost for 3 games in a row. City loses their mind. The city doesn't have the patience for a guy like Babcock. They just don't.
Toronto does? It's a bigger hockey market than Philadelphia.
100%. I think Toronto management is more confident in Mike Babcock than
because
Philadelphia Flyers management. Right. And now how do we know if Dave Hextall is a good coach?
Because he's been here for 4 years.
His first NHL job.
It's 4 years.
4 years. It's not a ton of time.
It's long enough to
people are already saying Peterson should be fired for the Eagles, and he won a Super Bowl.
It's long enough to know.
It is long enough to know.
Do you think this team makes the playoffs this year?
I do. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Carolina's off to a hot start. I thought they were going to be bad. They're off to an incredible start.
Hold on. I'm going to go on your dad's answer for a second.
Okay.
What was that you just said?
I think the talent's better, so I think they'll make the playoffs.
Okay. What made the roster better? What made the talent better?
Guys like some guys being a year older, okay. Simmons being healthy, signing Van Riemsdyk.
Guys developing a lot of it.
As you get older, you get stronger. You get bigger. You get more physical. You get better. But do you get better enough? That's the issue.
Right. So the coach has very little to do with how much better a player gets.
What's the point of the coach? Style of play. It's what you demand from the player.
And the style has been bad. Like, there was times this weekend where I would see a player, a clear space, go instead of going towards the net, just peel off, turn around, give it to the defenseman. He just a little wrister. Like, they don't attack the front of the net enough, and that's a style issue.
Okay, maybe that is a style issue.
It's 100% a style issue. Like, they have breaks where they can go straight to the net, and instead they peel backwards. So what are you doing?
Until you see the next Flyers coach this team, you're not going to realize how bad Hextall is.
Okay, but think about the guys immediately before this. Berube?
He's not a coach.
Okay.
Laviolette was a terrific coach.
Laviolette was a phenomenal coach.
Yes. Ken Hitchcock was a phenomenal coach.
Who did Peter Laviolette elevate? What players did he make great?
Mike Richards, because you see where he's at now.
Mike Richards was established by the time Laviolette came around.
That doesn't mean you don't get better.
I understand. I mean, but
Steve Yzerman was established when Scotty Bowman got there, but Scotty Bowman turned him into Steve UI.
Did moving Claude Giroux to left wing make him better last year?
It was a good move for the whole team, Drew, and the team included.
And who made that decision?
That was a good move. He did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Sean Couturier goes to first line center and has a career year.
It was a good move.
Everyone on that first line had a career year. Jake Voracek had a career year on the second line with Nolan Patrick. I understand that this coach isn't perfect. I do. I'm not sitting here pretending that he's the best coach of all time. Mm-hmm. I think, given the fact that it's essentially been a rebuild for 3 or 4 years without calling it a rebuild, without finishing last, without getting a top five pick other than Nolan Patrick, but you won the lottery, whatever. I think Hextall has earned by being a good enough coach, has earned the chance to see this rebuild through.
I just disagree.
That to me is this year and next year. Now, after next year, if you haven't made strides, if the Eagles or if the Flyers haven't won a playoff round,
so he gets the six-year
maybe
plan.
1-2, then maybe we look at letting him go.
You're giving him the 6-year plan.
I'm giving him time because I'm giving him mulligan on his first 3 years because the team he was playing with wasn't his. You still had bad Holmgren contracts. You still had Craig Berube leftovers.
There's still the eye test and what you're seeing on the ice as far as
and I'm seeing this team get better year over year.
How?
I just don't see it.
How do you see the team getting better?
Okay. I'm going to put his first year to the side. The year where you played Washington in the first round.
Yeah, and again, wouldn't have made it without Ghost.
That's fine. I agree. But I think any head coach, you got to take their first year and just push it to the side because they haven't coached before. They don't know what they're doing.
You got to be qualified, though.
And he was.
You just said he didn't know what he was doing. You have to know what you're doing in order to be a coach.
How do you get experience without doing the job?
He
didn't know how to coach at the NHL level. He had been a very successful head coach at University of North Dakota for a decade.
Maybe that's a bad hire.
Maybe
go
it
out
is,
and get an assistant coach from somewhere.
We got him now.
He's also never won at the college level.
He won a lot of games.
He never won when it mattered.
I understand, but he won a lot of games.
Yeah, because he had guys like Zach Parise and Jonathan Toews.
There's more than that. How much of Zach Parise and Jonathan Toews is because of his development at the college level?
Again, he never won when it mattered. He never won a national championship.
Experience matters to some extent, but there's 1,000 coaches who had experience who've been both great and terrible. Peterson, Reed, never had any experience.
Yeah.
One's been very good.
Doug Peterson was never a head coach at the NFL level.
He's been a very good head coach, and Peterson won the Super Bowl. And there's guys who get hired in that situation, and they're just awful, and they never get it, and they're just terrible coaches. You don't know which one you have until you get in there. Right. Mike Keenan came right out of college, one of the best Flyers coaches ever.
So I think you have to let's take that first year and wipe it clean because you're playing with Berube's lineup and Holmgren's roster, basically. Okay, so that first year. Second year, they were pretty bad. They missed the playoffs. They didn't look all that good. They ended up finishing, I think, 11th or 12th worst overall. Team was bad. It took them a while to implement the system. Ghost and Claude were both hurt. Nolan Patrick was coming off of surgery. That was the year prior. So your team was bad. You missed the playoffs. You end up spiking the lottery. You get Nolan Patrick. Last year, the team last year was a lot better than it was the year before that.
Talent-wise, I agree.
Sure.
Okay.
Talent-wise,
because you're clearing off some of the bad contracts. You made the Braden Schenn trade, which love it or hate it, it happened. You know, you got Morgan Frost, you got blah, 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 blah,
okay,
blah.
Okay, none of this has to do with Dave Haxel.
Let me finish. So this, 2 years ago, you missed the playoffs with Braden Schenn in your lineup. Last year, you subtracted Braden Schenn, and you made the playoffs. Braden Schenn is a very talented player. So your roster should have gotten worse by removing him. They replaced him with, like, who, Michael Raffel, Dale Weiss, Nolan Patrick in his first year, maybe.
Sure.
Team made the playoffs last year. Team had to have gotten better. If you went from not making the playoffs to making the playoffs, you got better.
It's not like they were the 4th seed. They were the 8th seed, yeah, or 7th seed.
They got in the very last game of the season.
You made the 3 seed. Okay, it doesn't matter. You still made the playoffs. And you took the Pittsburgh Penguins to 6. And yes, I know everybody says they got stomped
six.
In that
It was
series.
A sweep, essentially.
It was 6
it,
games.
It might as well have been a sweep.
It was 6 games.
They got absolutely curb stomped.
It was 6 games.
They got curb stomped.
It was 6 games.
They got destroyed. They weren't even in the same competition. They weren't at the same level.
Did they sell tickets to game 6, Mike?
Sure, whatever.
They
got absolutely destroyed.
Did you at any point in time think the Flyers had a chance to win that series?
No. From the first puck drop, I didn't.
After game 5? Listen, let me finish before you shake your head and scoff at me.
You're just saying dumb things.
After game 5, I acknowledge that anything can happen in the playoffs. If you win game 6, you got a chance.
They got destroyed in game 6.
But if you remember, they were up by 2 with about 5 or 6 minutes left in the second period. They were leading that game.
And they lost by 4?
Fairly late. Yes. A couple of bad turnovers from Radko Gudas, Ivan Provorov.
That's part of the game.
The team imploded a little bit. At that point, Ivan Provorov was playing on one arm.
Again, comes down to coaching. Why are you playing a guy with one arm, playing him 30 minutes in a game?
Because he didn't play 30 minutes in that game.
He played a lot of minutes in the third period.
I'd rather have Ivan Provorov with one arm than Andrew McDonald with 2.
No, that's false. I mean, I know that's the narrative that Philadelphia sports, you know, or Philadelphia
wants to do. I told you what I prefer. You can't tell me that's false.
It's false.
You don't think Sullivan outcoached him?
He probably did.
Sullivan's the leaps and bounds a better coach.
He's so
how long
much
has Sullivan
better,
been an NHL
frightened.
Head coach?
4 years? 3 years? And he's won 2 cups?
Do you remember when he took over Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Dan Bylsma should have won 5 wreck. Cups. No, Dan Bylsma should have won 5 cups, but Bylsma stinks.
When he took over.
Because Bylsma stinks.
They were under 500.
Because Bylsma's an awful coach.
Okay. He completely played a different system than Bylsma was playing. And the team, it was like, snap your fingers, and they were great.
I know.
All coaching.
Leaps and bounds a better coach than
Axel.
It
means so much.
I'm not saying that this coach is the best coach in the NHL.
No, I'm saying he's the worst.
I don't think he's the worst.
He's right there.
I don't think he deserves to be fired. I think given the tools.
Well, why? Just because he's not the worst coach in the league? Like, I want some sort of. I want us, you know, our heights to be set higher than that.
Given
just not to be the worst.
Given the tools he's had, the rosters he's had, I think he's done a pretty good job. I think this year is a big test. This team should be comfortably in the playoffs, competing to win a round.
Comfortably in the playoffs, they've looked dreadful. And I know it's only been 2 weeks.
How do you lose opening night 8-2?
Sometimes the wheels just fall off.
Yeah, you gotta come with more. Passion and fire.
He sits behind the bench
and
with that blank stare that he has no clue how to change.
First of all, he's shown more emotion this year than he ever has before. Up until this season, I'd probably give you that. This season, he's shown more emotion behind the bench. And I don't know how much of that's a conscious decision because he hears the fans hate it. But he's been more
I'll take your word. I'll take your word for that. I haven't seen it, but I'm not going to say that I've watched
every second of every
broadcast.
He's been more animated behind the bench. He was supremely animated after the Braden McNabb hit on Saturday against Vegas. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think he deserves to see it through. And I think I think this is a big year. I think this team should be a 100-point team.
I think that's a lot to say. And if they're not?
If they're not, maybe we start looking at it. Maybe see who else from around the league gets let go. There's always a couple surprises. I know Alain Vigneault is still sitting without a job.
I don't want Alain Vigneault. No, thank you.
But he was a surprising fire.
I definitely agree with that point. I'm not going to fire him unless I have a good replacement for him.
Right.
I'm not going to do it just for the sake of doing it and hiring another bad coach.
Then you end up with a Craig Berube.
So sure, that's fine.
I'll give you that. I'd rather finish the season with him and have a great coach hired at the end of the season than put a bad coach in there that now got to waste another 2 years finding out that this guy can't do it either.
Listen, at this point, we know Hextall well enough to know he's not firing Dave Hextall, at least until the end of the season. If he's going to make a change.
Depending how bad the season goes.
Right, unless they're 3-17.
I think it takes less than that. If they're sitting, 8-14 or 10-20 at the third mark, they're gonna do. He has no choice.
Maybe we'll see.
They just haven't looked good. They really just haven't.
It's early enough. In the season
understand.
That
it's
I'm
early.
Not worried. It's been five games.
Sure, and they haven't.
And you still
good.
Won two of them.
Yeah, you beat up on a lowly Ottawa team,
who's. Been pretty good this year, by the way.
No,
and they beat some good teams this week.
And they beat Vegas, who, newsflash here, Vegas isn't as good as they were last year.
Right.
Newsflash, they're just not that team.
Sure.
And they shouldn't have gotten that far last year. They're going to have a very long season, Vegas.
The Flyers should have won Saturday's
game. I give you that. Voracek looked bad. Couturier.
No. Couturier I'm not talking about any of the Flyers who looked bad.
No, I'm just saying.
No.
I'm trying to break
down.
What's the point of us doing a podcast if we're not going to break down the game?
We're going to break down the game.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about any of the Flyers who did poorly. I'm going to talk about the fact that Marc-Andre Fleury
played out of his
mind.
Yeah, he did.
Flyers should have scored 5 or 6 goals in that game.
I don't know about that, but he played
22 shots.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
The quality saves were good.
I'm not saying Fleury didn't play good.
But you can't say you're 5 good.
He didn't put a 40 save shutout on the board.
And Brian Elliott played excellent, by the way.
But he really didn't get any high quality shots on him. He really did. Everything was to the outside.
Played very well.
Yeah, everything was to the outside. Sure.
For the last five,
through the first
1 minute of the game.
Through the first, well,
because Couturier played awful in that last shift.
Through the first 4 games, what was the Flyers' biggest problem?
Everything.
Defense.
Their biggest problem.
Defense, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Who played the best yet? It's on Saturday.
Their defense.
Sure.
Defensively, not their...
I understand.
The forwards and
forwards
the center
have defensive responsibility.
Are much more involved in defense than...
And they sure were not through the first 4 games.
No, they weren't.
I think...
No, and you have to play... listen, you're not going to play every second of every game like that.
Listen, but I honestly
there
think...
There has to be some consistency.
I honestly think... That the Flyers tried to come into this season with a stylistic change, tried to be a little faster, a little more run and gun, a little more wide open, and their defense is not good enough to back it up.
No, after the first 2, their defense falls off very quickly.
I understand that, but you guys are talking about style for coaches. I think the coach made a decision to go to run and gun style. And if their defense was good, Nashville can play wide open because they have the best defense in the league.
No, it's a little different.
Playing fast and playing wide open are 2 different things.
Right, that's a complete opposite of what I was saying their style was against Vegas, where they would go, instead of going towards the front of the net and trying to break free.
Which Vegas game?
They did one on this last one.
Okay, that's why I said the first 4 games.
Oh, okay, sure.
If you let me finish my point. Through the first 4 games, you tried to play wide open, end-to-end, stretch passes, quick shots, rush, speed hockey.
I understand. You didn't let me finish my point, though.
Because you cut me off. Okay. And then you didn't see much success. You got blown out against San Jose.
So when did they put that in place? Over the summer?
I would imagine over the summer through training camp, off-season adjustments.
They played in the preseason.
And then between Wednesday's game in Ottawa.
And after 4 games, which you've won 2, you totally abandon it?
That's
bad coaching.
I think it's about finding a balance. Saturday, they went in the complete other direction. Now, if they...
That is bad coaching.
You've had 3 years to find a balance.
Not with this team.
It's the same team. Minus, add one or two players.
Would you not say this team's been Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? They play great at times. They play horrible at times.
I think that's valid.
That falls on the coach.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for a losing streak because it happens every year now.
He just can't bring any consistency. No,
I think part of that is youth. Younger players are less consistent than older players.
That's also false nowadays.
Mike Keenan took a team with five rookies to the finals.
In what year?
They were consistent. Doesn't matter what year.
The game has changed.
Younger players are better now. You have Austin Matthews who jumps right in. McDavid. No, I understand.
Do the Flyers have any players on that caliber?
No, they don't. Not even close. Okay. But still.
Ivan Provorov.
Not even close. No, not even close.
Okay.
Not even close to Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid. That's a joke.
Peter Zezel, Derek Smith, those five rookies that Ron Hextall was on. No, that wasn't Ron Hextall team. That made that run to the finals. Do you think they didn't have the NHL careers they had because they had Keenan as a coach? Sure they did. They learned how to play in the NHL because of Keenan.
Okay. And
these guys aren't learning it from Hextall.
How do you know? Look at Nolan Patrick last year.
Because I watched the game.
Look at Nolan Patrick last year. Started on the third, fourth line. Started in the bottom six.
Because he was nursing his surgery. He was recovering.
I will agree with you. Hextall will not be able to ruin the number two pick in the draft. You're probably right. He will probably still be a decent NHL player.
How good was Nolan Patrick's second half last year?
He got healthy.
When he got
he was healthy.
He got healthy.
And also got put on the second line.
He should. He's a second overall pick.
Not as rookie. You don't expect your number two overall pick to play
Patrick Laine.
Is Nolan Patrick Laine?
No, not even close.
Is Nolan Patrick Jack Eichel?
No, but still, he's a second overall pick.
So what's your comparison good for?
He's a second overall pick. Aaron Ekblad, there's another one. I think he was actually first overall.
Ekblad was first.
But still.
How much better has Eichel gotten in Buffalo? How good's their coach?
Not good.
He's terrible.
Not good.
He's terrible. And Eichel hasn't gotten any better.
Well, that's
how much better has Laine gotten in his 2 years in the NHL?
Consistently much better.
He has a good coach.
And Nolan Patrick has gotten better through his first season. We only have a one season
comparison.
I'm not
saying he hasn't gotten better. Yeah, from unhealthy to healthy, he's become a better player.
If Nolan Patrick scores 30 goals this year, last year I think he had 40 points. If he scores 30 goals this year or gets up over 50, 60 points this year, are you going to credit that to the coach using him? Or are you going to credit he's just here another year?
It doesn't have a point yet, I don't think.
I don't worry about points. I watch you play the game. I know if you're getting better or not.
Is Nolan Patrick getting better?
I can't base anything on this year yet because it's too small a sample size. But as the year went on and he got healthier last year, he definitely got better. And this year in preseason and in the games, he looks way faster.
Okay.
Which only be a good thing.
It's astounding me because you guys keep telling me that the coach is responsible for growing and developing players. And then every time I mention a player that has grown or developed, you tell me it's not the coach.
It's not.
Like, I don't understand the point.
Well, no, his point was he's gotten faster, and a coach isn't going to fix speed. He's just not. He got healthy.
Okay. Has he been better?
Healthy.
Has he been better this year than he was last year?
If you're
faster,
you're
going to
be better. If you're faster, you're
going
to be better.
If you're the number two pick in the draft with that pedigree, of course you're going to get better.
Okay.
Than you were last year. If he wasn't hurt at the beginning of last year, you would not say Nolan Patrick looks like he's getting better under Hextall, because he would look the same as he looked from day one.
Okay. No, if he was never hurt, he wouldn't even be a Flyer. It'd be Nico Hischier. Patrick would have went one.
Sure. That's fine.
Just call it what it is.
All right. We got really heated this episode. I'm sweating. I don't know about you guys. Let's get out of here.
Can I ask one last question?
Yeah, go for it.
Where does the passion for Hextall come from?
It's not so much a passion for Dave,
like
specifically
it.
For Dave Hextall. It's almost a defensiveness. Because the rest, it seems like a lot of this fan base has given up on him, and I haven't. It's not that I particularly love Dave Hextall. I don't know him. It's not like I'm friends with him. But the rest of the city has given up on him, and I don't see it.
You don't see all the late third goals scored to tie games with 30 seconds left. You don't see the blown two-goal leads constantly. You don't see that happening over and over and over.
I see.
Playoffs included last year?
I see. A young team, for the most part, that is learning under their coach, and that is part of learning. And I think that is the kind of thing, instead of losing one-goal games, when this team grows together and matures a little bit, they'll start winning the one-goal game.
Toronto's a young team.
And that'll make the difference. That'll make the difference between being a borderline playoff team and winning the first round and being a contender.
Toronto is a young team. They're expected to light the world on fire.
John Tavares.
That's not the reason he's expected to light the world on fire.
John Tavares.
Okay, Boston, very young team.
Hey, when did Toronto get eliminated last year?
In the first round.
Same time as the Flyers did. Okay. They lasted one more game.
Every game was a one-goal game.
They still lost the series.
They didn't get curb stomped.
They still lost the series?
They lost the series, yes.
They didn't get curb stomped.
Could they have won the series?
Could the Flyers have won it?
No, absolutely zero not. Chance.
Not even close.
Okay.
And the team that they lost to, Toronto, was Boston, who is also a very young team.
Who lost in the second round. And also...
Okay, still.
I think Toronto should have beat Boston. I agree with you.
That's fine. Listen, I don't have any sort of particular affection for Hextall. I trust Ron Hextall and the decision he's made as a coach, to hire a coach. And I'm not... as impatient as a lot of this fan base is.
But that's another thing. When does it start to go away from the trust of Hextall? Because I mean,
when he makes a bad move,
I don't. There's been a couple.
Like keeping a coach in place who consistently has a team who gives up goals with 30 seconds left to tie a game, consistently gives up 2-goal leads in the second period.
Signing Dale Weiss to a 4-year deal.
Okay, fine. Sign Dale Weiss to a 4-year deal. You bring that up a lot.
Yeah, it's a bad deal.
But at the time, you needed a body.
I think Hextall's done a much better job than Hextall.
Oh, for sure. He's done a very good
Hextall
job.
Hextall is 5,000% better than Holmgren was.
Sure.
Agree.
Well, yeah, I agree with that
and
for
honestly,
the most
I've
part.
Mentioned it on this show before. Since the passing of Ed Snyder, this organization has gotten a lot more patient. And I respect Ed Snyder. I love Ed Snyder. This is not a disrespectful shot at him.
There's something that occurred... That created that patience.
But he wanted to make the trades every year to get the rental superstar to try to win a cup this year.
There's a reason it stopped working. Okay, and I know they never won the cup again with Snyder past 1975.
Right.
But the worst thing that ever happened to the Flyers...
Trading for Lindros?
No. The worst thing that ever happened to the Flyers was the salary cap.
That's fair.
The Flyers would have continued to be the Flyers from 1970 to 1990.
That hurt a lot of teams, though.
You still traded for Darian Hatcher, who was atrocious.
That hurt. The salary cap hurt a lot of teams. I mean, it hurt Detroit tremendously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But when you have an owner who's willing to pay anything to win a Stanley Cup, and he did. That's why people love Ed Snyder.
Yeah.
It never happened again after 75.
Totally.
But if you told him, Ed, you're going to be worth half the money you are today, but you're going to win 2 more Stanley Cups.
He would have done it in a heartbeat.
Here's the money.
He would have written you the check today.
Now, once the salary cap comes in, that mindset, you can't operate that anywhere and anymore. That was the worst thing that happened to the Flyers.
That's fair. At the same time, the way the NHL is going, it's about building around young superstars.
Absolutely.
Look at what Toronto's doing. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row and then signed John Tavares, and he's there as an over-the-hump move.
But there are other teams who've gathered superstars who are not in, young players, young, very good players, who are not in that position because they don't have the coach that Toronto has.
Okay. Well, like who? Who are good, talented teams that aren't in the playoffs because of their coaching?
Buffalo, they've had number one, number two, number one, number two, number one, number two.
Edmonton.
Number one, number two, number one, number two, Connor McDavid. They still stink.
Okay.
You got to get the coach.
Did you guys hear the rumors that an Edmonton columnist wrote that they might eventually entertain trade offers for McDavid?
No, that's
way too early.
Throwing shit against the wall.
I know. It was just a big news story over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw it.
You guys too talented to give up this early.
If you put McDavid on 30 other teams, they're winning the cup.
Well, I mean, a lot of other teams can't fit his salary.
So much to grow. So much to learn. You can't say that. But,
for fantasy purposes, I just hope he starts winning faceoffs. Anyway.
Well, you're learning the growing pains of what it takes to become a great NHL player.
Anyway.
He has to Bergeron his game up a little bit.
We're going
to
get out of here. We talked about a lot today, so you guys can let us know what you think about everything we talked about. You can find the show on Twitter at YWTPodcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike_Giletto. Senior, as always, can be found nowhere. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and on our YouTube page. We did a lot today. We got pretty heated. The show ran pretty long. But for now, we'll get out of here, and we'll see you next week.